they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this out for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when these beats drop, I know they gon' lean.
All right, hello and welcome to another episode of Amon Sheeran's Pirate Radio Podcast. On today's episode, we're lucky enough to have Brendan Clancy, aka Super Producer BC. He definitely lives up to that nickname, producing several podcasts for Barstool Sports, including their longest running podcast, KFC Radio, with his brother Kevin Clancy and John Feidelberg. I'm very excited to have you on today to talk a little bit about podcasting and producing and how you got into it. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Sure, man. I'm excited too.
All right, cool. So what do you think goes into, obviously you have a great idea of this, but what kind of work goes into producing a top podcast on like a weekly basis?
I mean, there's so many varieties of different shows and different hosts. You know, I'm lucky enough that Kev, John, and when we started Dan, were like super flexible. I think to produce a top podcast, I think the theme, and I like saying theme rather than like niche, is important. It's just stay true to what you are. If you're trying to grow audience, you need to pick a theme and deliver on that and say like, this is what you're going to get every week. You can expand on that and you can show a little bit more of your personality. But like, if you do a fantasy football podcast, deliver on that fantasy football talk and then, you know, go wherever you want, after that. So I'd say that's the main thing, like picking and sticking to a theme. But there's so much that can, you know, like dumb luck can end you up with a top podcast. But if you pick and stick to a theme, I'd say that's a good starting point.
For sure. So you definitely want to get that idea of like finding out what you're successful at, what people like, and then stick with what brought you to the dance. So for KFC Radio, talk about that process about finding out like where it clicked. And
I'd say the thing that what's interesting is that KFC Radio was, I guess you could say that the theme of it, at, you know, when it first got started, was sort of like, you know, the common man, the average stoolie, basically Barstool Sports, the blog translated to audio. So that didn't have as strict of a theme as like, you know, fantasy football or something like that. But, what really clicked was the voicemails.
Right.
When we found that mechanism to bring the audience to the show, that's what really got Kev going at first. And then John and Dan really loved it. And now that show has really become like the Clancy and Feidelberg show.
Right.
It's just like they use the voicemails to get where they wanted to go. And now it's a lot about the two of them. And they've done so many other types of media and they've been writing blogs for so long that show is sort of self-sustaining and they just stick to who they are, you know? And then like when they want to talk about TV, they talk about TV. When they want to, you know, talk about sex, they talk about sex. When they want to, you know, talk about politics, they'll talk about politics. They just, you know, then it's about them. But I caution people not to start like that. Just because if you are not currently an influencer or you don't have a big following on social media, it's tough to just start out the gate. Hey, it's just me and my buddy and we're going to talk.
Right.
Like you gotta be interesting. You gotta be funny. And that's where I say stick with the theme first so that before people know, you may be a rock star in the making, but people aren't going to know that until they give you a chance. So use a theme to hook them in another way. Like, you know, it could be an advice podcast. It could be a fitness podcast. It could be, you know, if it's comedy, that's fine. But then, and you need to have that hook of like, I do comedy. Like if you're already a stand-up comedian, you'd be like, we're two stand-up comedians doing a show. You know, there's a theme, that's a hook.
Right.
But it's tough to just be like, I mean, the guys at Barstool make it seem easier than it is.
Because they're so big already, obviously.
Yeah, and they earned that.
You right, know,
they
for
earned
sure.
That by writing like, they used to write 12 blogs a day.
That's
so
insane.
It's like when they moved it to audio, it was a great place to start because they already had a big following. They all had, I think it was like 2012, but they probably all had like 50,000 Twitter followers or like, you know, 20,000 Twitter followers, which was huge at the time. So, you know, they had a great place to start. So that's why it's difficult to just be like, I just want to make a show like KFC Radio where it's me and my buddy and we're shooting the shit. You can do that, but I think what's better is to have a bit of a theme that helps, you know, summarize what your show is.
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of been the theme for me. I try to do at least two shows a month, one solo and one with a guest. And with the guest, I'm trying to stick with the theme of like telling their life story. So for me, I'm a track athlete. I've been running since I was 12. And I like the guests I have on are my teammates, and we go through their athletic career. I have like a few questions that I always ask, like, what was a breakout race for you? Do you remember the first time you broke five? And so that's kind of the theme when I have guests on.
Yeah, that would be a short podcast for me.
Yeah.
Let's go through your athletic career.
Yeah.
But yeah, but no, so that's great. Yeah, especially if you stick to track, or I mean, you could expand that to all sorts of athletes. But I like that. It's like a formula, because if somebody falls in love, like, you know, if somebody really likes the show, falls in love with it, then they know that they're going to get that each time, and they're like, right. I'm looking forward to that. And people like consistency. So whether or not that those questions are like absolutely brilliant, or if they occasionally don't lead to great banter, it's still important to have that consistency, because people are going to want to hear that.
For sure. Yeah. And so I just try to keep the consistency in terms of putting it out, try to do at least two a month, even if I'm just talking about pop culture or pro wrestling, and then I stick to the guest for their athletic careers. But I've had some moderate success with that, but it's just a lot of fun just to talk to people.
Sticking to it is hard. I've struggled with this podcast. Like, I've taken breaks, but you know, and then you have to walk the fine line of like, when you need a break, you should take a break, you know, like you don't need to, you know, run yourself into the ground, and you don't need to put together, you know, a really shoddy product and put it out there just to have it out there. But at the same time, you can't use that as an excuse and be like, well, it's not perfect. I would err on the side of like putting more out and taking a break when you really need it. But consistency is very key. And that's what I'm trying to stick with this show. But, you know, sometimes it slips through the cracks.
So no free ads, but the show you're referring to is Super Producer Podcast, which I've been listening to a lot lately. I just listened to the one with Biracial Booty, which I thought was really good, about her starting a podcast and a blog. So I found that really interesting.
I really like to do more with people, with listeners of the show, people who are in the Facebook group. You know, now some of those people are crossing over, but Sarah is like sticking to a lot of different things. Like, she's sticking to a blog. She's making consistent TikToks. She's putting out a podcast consistently. And like, it's just like a slow grind, but eventually it clicks over. And I'm not talking about necessarily like next month she's going to, you know, be able to quit her job and just do this full time. But like, if that's her hope, and if that's anybody else's listening's hope, like, you have to just stick with it for a consistent and long period of time. That's the only way it happens. Like, people want to be overnight success, and it's just like, it's just not going to happen. And you think that you've seen people do that, and you really haven't.
You've like, seen the 10 years before, and then you see when they hit, but you don't see the 10 years before of the solid work.
Yeah. I mean, people, you know, like, now Dave is hitting like this tipping point where he is like in the pop culture, like all sorts of people are mentioning him and know him. And it legit took 17 years. So it's not overnight, you know? And he's been popular for a little while now, but like, that took him a long time.
Yeah, people forget about Fat Dave, and they just want to see like Sex Tape Dave and him living it up. But it's all that work. It's all one guy.
A lot of work. And he, you know, was doing like, when Kev signed on, Kev was a big fan of his blog, you know, BarstoolSports.com, when it was just Dave. He was just like, I'm a fan of this guy. I'm a fan of El Presidente. But like, Dave did the work before you could even get any of the glory. Like, right. He was handing out papers.
Milton
like,
Tough.
Ask somebody, you know, somebody wants to call up and say, hey, I want to like be Dave, or I want to even be half of what Dave is, or 10% of what Dave is. And you say, okay, go like hand out papers in the winter in a Boston winter. And they're like, oh, maybe I don't want that.
Yeah,
quit. It's like, well, okay, well then that's fine. You know, like only certain people have that in them. And I don't know what that would be now. I don't necessarily know if it would.
There's
be
probably not papers. A direct equivalent anymore. But
right, but there is like grunt work to be done
for sure.
You know, so it's like you got to be willing to do that. So sometimes you can identify it by being like, ugh, I don't want to do this. So when you feel like, oh, I don't want to do a podcast this week or this month or whatever, like that's like a good indicator of like, oh, I got to do it though, because that's the hard work.
Right. Yeah. And then you're going to see that success based on doing it when you didn't want to, and that's the episode that's going to finally break, usually.
Yeah.
If you put that work in.
I mean, there will be one episode that pops, but that episode is an accumulation.
For sure.
Like all the other work that you've done, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one pops in their first episode, obviously.
No,
yeah.
Definitely not.
So we talked a little bit about your producing KFC Radio, a bunch of different podcasts at Barstow, but what made you want to start the Super Producer podcast?
I think the clincher was I want to be able to practice what I preach. And when I tell people to do this, I don't want to just be like, you know, well, I tell Kevin John to do that and they do it. You know, it's like, I want to be like, I'm out here doing it. I'm going through the struggles. I want to be able to relate to people who are kind of going through this. I mean, I have some advantages because like a lot of the equipment that I'm using now is stuff that I bought for KFC Radio, and we've since upgraded to these studios, so I still like have that stuff. So it's not like I had to start from absolute scratch. But starting back at the bottom reminds you what some of the challenges are. Like, right. We've had these podcast feeds up and running for so long. So when I had to start Super Producer, I was like, oh, I got to remember how to do this. I got to go back through it because, you know, uploading is not the same as starting a feed. They're just these little things. They're not difficult, but you just have to remember how to get it submitted to iTunes and get it submitted to Spotify and submitted to Stitcher, and you just go through these things. And then some of the things had changed since I first did it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, there's Anchor, and I don't use that, but like I have to be aware of it because when people say what's the best host, I have to like consider all things, and Anchor does free hosting, so that's like something that, you know, I can suggest to people. So I want to just sort of not just be in the podcast game, but be in the starting a podcast game,
right,
and being able to help people do that. So I had to start again. And I don't know. Sometimes I'm considering like, you know, starting another podcast just to start it. But, you know, I need to think of the theme first to figure out if I want to do that.
Yeah. So I shout out to Anchor. That's what I use. But I'm sure it was nice to hit all those milestones for yourself again, starting from scratch. And because that was like huge when I got on Spotify. I was like, oh, that's another thing people can listen to me on. And it's like a whole new thrill. I'm sure.
Right. And there's a point where KFC Radio has been around so long and it's still growing, but you don't like check those stats as much early on. It's so fun to check stats. Like right now we're working on One Minute Man, and I check the views on One Minute Man like 5 times a day because it's new and it's different. And like, you know, we're growing week to week, month to month, and we're like, I'm tracking the stats. Whereas like KFC Radio has just been around for so long, we know what the numbers are going to, it's almost more about the monetization then. Like we're talking with sales and we're like, oh, we want to get more ads, or we want to upgrade the ads, or we want to do branded deals. And then it's all business. And there's so many people involved in that. But yeah, checking the stats, like I love it. It's fun when you get an episode that you know people are really liking and they're referring other people and you see it uptick and it's like, oh, this one let's do 50% more than the last one. It's fun.
Yeah, it's cool. And great job editing those 1 minute man videos. Those have been a real treat during quarantine. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
I had to learn how to do Premiere real quick.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, for sure. So moving on, we're talking a couple more questions, then we'll do some fun stuff at the end. But what do you think it takes to nowadays to build a successful brand?
Jeez, a brand is a big word. I think this is one way. I don't think everybody has to do this because there are people much smarter than me that have built brands much quicker than anything I've built. But I think that the thing that everybody can do is lean into authenticity. You know, just be who you are. And that doesn't mean you can't exaggerate it to be more entertaining. You know, because you just can't be average. I was listening to this guy, Harris Heller, who is a successful YouTuber, but he's also a streamer on Twitch. So he's talking about, you know, how to be successful on there. And he says, are you a gamer or are you a streamer? Because if you just want to sit around and play games,
anyone can.
Really good at it, if you just crush Fortnite, then people will want to watch. But, you know, you need to be engaging. But you can't get too far outside of who you really are, unless you are like literally going to try and be an actor. You know, somebody like PFT is pulled off a complete and total character. Like he's just, you don't know where
Like a masterclass, yeah.
Yeah, like he's just, you don't know what he really is. I think that if you make content, if you lean into just creating a lot, making a lot of content, doing a podcast, repurposing it for YouTube, making TikTok clips, and you just are putting out a message, then that can build a brand. You should build that around something. And that's where I can't really tell you, you know, if you're
right
into track, then you can build around track. But if you lean into producing, it's almost like, you know, I don't want to say strictly quantity over quality. There needs to be a quality control level. But if you just say, I'm just gonna share everything I know about track, or share everything I know about pro wrestling, and then try and learn more, and try and find people who know more than me, and share that with my audience, and it, you know, just make a lot of content around it, and then from there, I think that that's probably one of many good ways to start a brand. From there, you're going to have to refine it and, you know, make it better and just, you know, improve every step of the way. But that is a good place to start.
For sure. Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And that's what I've found, having like my coach on, has been doing coaching for like 10 years, and talking to her about track, it's been amazing, obviously.
Yeah, you're just like a track addict. Like, you love it. You want to talk about it. Even if there's, you know, not like necessarily, like, I'm not in the track world, but I'm sure there's tons of track media. You know, there's
right.
there were successful, you know, running magazines and stuff like that, and just say, I'm going to bring that into 2020. I mean, those people are doing that too, but you can be one of the people who do that.
Right.
And just say, I'm going to try and learn something, even though you've been running for a long time. You're like, I'm going to try and learn something new about running today, and then share it with my audience. Or I'm going to find somebody who has been coaching for 30 years, and they're going to share something. And it's all just stuff that other runners and other track athletes are going to want to hear. And just, you know, share that. You can just be sort of an accumulator and an aggregator of that information. And then you add your own personality and flair to it. I think that's a good way to start. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be the most successful, but if you start and you follow through on that, you can refine it and get better at it.
For sure. Yeah, that's one thing I've realized, that like the brand like continues to develop as you go, and as you find new things, and you just work that in and just make it work.
Right. But the only way to learn those things is to do it.
Right.
Like, you know, you have to put that out there. You can't just sit and say, this is what I think runners are going to want to see. Like, you know, great, map that out. Get that together in a week, and then launch and start. And then, you know, you probably had in your head, oh, I thought maybe, you know, this video would do better. And then you do one video that you don't have high hopes for, and that does a lot better than you think. Oh, okay, maybe I can lean into that. You know, like, you might stumble upon something like, maybe people actually really want to hear about recovering from injuries that they had while running. You know, that might be one piece of your strategy, but then you see, oh wow, that really pops because everybody is Googling sprained ankles much more than you realized. And you only are going to find that by doing it. You may think like, I think a lot of people really want to know how to run a mile faster. That might just be like, you know, a hypothesis early on, but then you find out it's actually people are much more into, they're searching for what shoes to wear, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, this is actually where I need to go. But you're not going to be able to find that out by like just sitting around thinking about it.
Yeah. And it's not going to happen overnight.
First time.
Right. Yeah. It's trial and error for sure. So one last tough question, and then we'll get to some fun stuff. But was there a moment, I think I might know the answer, but there was a moment when KFC Radio changed from being like you and Kevin to like a bigger thing. Was there a blow up moment?
I mean, there've been lots of milestones.
Yeah.
I think Kevin did the first 18 episodes where it was like me in the background, just feeding him voicemails, and then John. And then, I don't know if Google Hangouts, like, you know, was invented around then, or if it had been around and I just discovered it. And I was like, we can do this with people in different states. Like, we can do this remotely, which is so funny because it's like we worked as hard as we could to get everybody in the same room.
Right.
And like we had everybody move to New York, and now everybody's like back in their own places.
Yeah, it's like Philly, Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. But everywhere. I think John jumped on episode 19, I think, and then Dan shortly after. And then it was like, okay, wow, this is really like something. I wonder, I don't even know if we had named it yet. Maybe we did. I can't remember when we named it. We didn't name it at first. It was first like the, we were going to just call it like the Barstool voicemail podcast or something like that. So that was, you know, then I was like, okay, this could work. And then when Jay Cutler came on, it was like, wow. I had always thought that it would be a great avenue to try and get guests on, but I did not think it would happen nearly as fast as it did. So when Jay Cutler came on, that was like the first time I was like kind of nervous because I still had to hold together the production. Like if Google Hangouts didn't work, I mean, I wasn't doing anything sophisticated, but like if Google Hangouts didn't work that day, we were going to miss out on like a great interview.
Right.
So I was a little bit nervous about that, but it worked. And then I was like, we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, the sky is the limit. Yeah, I thought you were going to say the live show because I know that was.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I was thinking like early on.
Yeah, no, that makes definitely makes sense.
Oh yeah, the live show. Well, the first thing we did live at Saloon, which was just like a bar, but that was crazy because there was like a line around the block to get in before they opened, and that was like, what is going on here? Yeah, I guess it was a little bit more of like a slow build to all that. But that, I mean, the live show, like in New York at Caroline's, when we did a Mail Time live at
Coachella,
and then the Wilbur. I mean, all that stuff. Yeah, those are just like a little bit further along. I thought you were talking about like earlier on when it just like felt. But yeah, I mean, when you know, Chernin got on board and they were like, live show is going to be like a big part of what we're trying to do. It's all crazy. We haven't done, I mean, we had a whole tour planned before COVID. We were going to do KFC Radio. We're going to do like 10 cities.
Nice.
That always is a reminder, like when you do it, because it's like, you know, there's a lot of fans, you know, there's a lot of followers on Twitter and you know, you get a lot of downloads, but like when you see the actual people and they're actually excited to
see.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Like what we do. I mean, it's definitely very cool and very, very grateful for it.
All right. So thank you so much for all that knowledge and everything. So we're just going to do some rapid fire to close it out. If that's cool.
Okay.
All right. Sure. So we got a favorite Jordan sneaker.
I'm not nearly as big of a sneakerhead as Kev.
Oh, okay.
But sorry. I do love the patent leather Jordans. Those I fell in love with back then. But I'm not – Kev is you know, he has them all.
Okay, that's cool. So I got one ATI for you. I got the card right here.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you could bring back one celebrity or athlete to come back to life and you can have dinner with them, who would you choose?
Oh, my goodness. One celebrity athlete. You know what? Now it's Kobe.
Yeah. Now I did not even think of that, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, now it's Kobe. So, you know what's crazy about Kobe? I mean, I always respected him. I always was like, this guy is the heir apparent to Jordan. Like, I still give Jordan a slight edge, but he was so – but he was like – he seemed a little, like, arrogant. He just, like, rubbed me the wrong way.
Like, during his playing career. And then
– yeah.
Yeah.
And then – and it was really until after he died that I just saw so many people speak so highly of him and – how committed he was to like of course you're committed to your daughters, you love your daughters, but because of that he was super committed to like women's basketball. And when people said that he was going to one day be the commissioner of the WNBA, they were, because he was like just so into it, because, and you know, it's just like it's obviously like taking an interest in what your kids are interested in, but he was just doing so much for that. And then I was just like really touched by, I don't know, I guess I kind of like just held him in a different type of regard, and then I really saw like how great he was off the court. So that would be like the new fresh answer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Maybe Tom Seaver now. This is all new.
Yep. It's a tough question.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, so I'm a runner. I don't know if you know Steve Prefontaine. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh yeah, first 4 minute mile, right?
No, that's Roger Bannister. But Steve Prefontaine was an Oregon athlete, and he came in fourth in the Olympics. He ran like the.
There was a movie about him.
Right? Yeah, Without Limits. Without Limits.
Oh, Oh, okay. So maybe
there was two. There was two movies.
They reference that? I think maybe that movie is where I learned about the
Bannister. Yeah.
And how like, you know, once one guy broke it, then like multiple people were able to break it because it was like a mental thing.
Yeah, so it unlocked the ability that it was possible.
I remember seeing the advertisement for the movie, and for some reason I have those associated with the format.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Roger Bannister was, I think it was like 50s or 60s. He was an English athlete, but Steve Prefontaine, he ran like the gutsiest race, and then he came in fourth. He literally like died and like stumbled across the line at the Olympics in 72, which was in Munich. And then a couple weeks later, he died tragically in his early 20s in a car crash.
Oh, wow.
So it was like what never happened. He has like some of the coolest like running quotes. Like one of them is, to give anything is less than your best is to sacrifice the gift. And the other big one is, the best pace is suicide pace, and today's a great day to die on like race day. So it's pretty intense. Yeah.
Wow. So, it's wild when they're like these profound guys who like I don't know if you ever would have heard that quote if he hadn't died young,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, and it's like it's almost like eerie when people are so profound.
Post-mortem,
and then, like, something tragic happens because, you know, like everybody could say cool things, but then I mean obviously he did amazing things too, so he would always be like somewhat revered, but that's like a tragedy that amplifies everything
for sure. All right, so we got one more. It's MFK with New York rappers. So we got Jay-Z, Mace, and 50 Cent.
So Jay-Z is my favorite of all time, so marry him. And this is tough because there was definitely a time where 50 was like top of the top, but Mace is like so fun. I think I'll give it to 50 though.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
50 and kill Mace.
Kill Mace, I mean, yeah.
Mace just doesn't have like a catalog like that.
It's not the same.
He's so fun, and it definitely like brings me back to a time when I was younger and like more money, more problems. Like hip hop was so fun. But 50's just a beast.
Yeah,
and he's just so funny on Instagram now. And when he goes at people, he just eviscerates them. So
yeah, he's been going at who's the Firefest guy? He's been going at.
Yeah, I'm not sure who was.
Yeah, but he was like making fun of him, like he's doing like college events. Like this guy must be so broke and all this stuff.
Right,
yeah. But yeah, shout out to Mace for welcome back. That's like my first 30 seconds of the podcast, which I got from Clancy and the Rockets.
Oh man, you're making me rethink. No, but I mean, 50 still has just like so many
players.
Like, Get Rich or Die Trying was just like an anthem for so long. But Mace is those are good picks because that's tough. If Jay wasn't my like absolute favorite, it's like there's a lot of people who would be a toss up between Jay and 50, but Jay is just it for me. So.
All right. Thank you so much, man. I've been a Stooler for a long time. I've been a big fan, so I really appreciate it.
For sure, man.
Yeah, one last thing. What would you like your outro song to be? Anything you want.
Why don't we just keep it consistent and do The Greatest Show?
All right. I like that. Shout out to KSU Radio.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, a little shout out there.
Thanks for listening, guys. Stealing your mind, and all that was real is left behind.
gonna fight it. It's coming for you, running at you. It's in this moment, don't care what comes after. Y'all feel a dream, can't you see? Getting closer. Just surrender, cause you feel the feeling taking over. It's fire, it's freedom, it's flying open. It's a picture in the pulpit and your blind devotion. There's something breaking at the brick of every wall. It's holding on, it's not. So tell me, do you wanna go? We're coming on the color lines. We're the color waves of one of the night. Impossible come true. They say you know me, you.
Oh, this is the greatest show.
We love it up, we won't come down.
The sun gets dark on the ground.
That's really come true. They say you know me, you.
Oh, this is the greatest show.
So we come these renegades in the ring. The lost can't found every crown of the circus king. Don't fight it, it's coming for your body to drop. It's only this moment, don't get something to stop. He's blinded, I'm shining, and he's shining to know. Just a minute, cause you're coming and you wanna go. We're coming on the color lines. We're the runaways, we're running the night. Possible goes through,
intoxicating you.
Oh, this is the greatest show.
We light it up, we won't come
down. And the sun can't stop us now.
That's when it comes true.
We're taking over you.
Oh, this is the greatest show.
It's everything you ever want. It's everything you ever need. Let's get on the phone.
It's coming in on the color.